Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And he joins us now. Jake, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Obviously, the immediate tie here, as I just stated, John Means, the Guardians trade for him, and we know that comes with the accompanying here of Tommy John surgery, not for the first, but for a second time for John Means. So I guess very generally, I'll just sort of open it up to you that in this 10 starts that Means has made over the last three seasons, how did he look?
I mean, he looked good, which is why it made it even more disappointing that he wasn't able to stay healthy. You know, his numbers were good when he came back, and it seemed like things were on the right track. So I remember last year when he was in St. Louis and he started to feel that discomfort and he left to start early. He looked so down, so dejected. And you really felt for the guy because he grinded so hard to get back from that first Tommy John surgery. He pitched on some bad Orioles teams and really hadn't experienced success, and he wanted to get back so badly and be pitching for a good team. And then he was able to do that, and he pitched late in the season in 23, had some good starts. He actually had a no-hit bid that went into, I believe, the seventh or eighth inning in Cleveland against the Guardians. That was probably the best start that he had that late in that 23 season. And then he started the 24 season on the IL, just had a slow ramp up. It looked good when he came back. So it really kind of came out of nowhere that it popped up again and happened again. He had to get the second Tommy John surgery. But, you know, he looked good when he was out there. It's just he hasn't been able to stay out there for long periods of time these last few years.
Do you have even a reference point for a pitcher off the top of your head that has had like two Tommy John surgeries and then come back and known what they looked like? Because off the top of my head, I was thinking about it and I did not have one.
No, I do not either. I cannot think of one. You don't see it happen a ton. The Orioles have another guy, Tyler Wells, who had a Tommy John surgery. Thought maybe he was going to have to get a second, but he was able to get the reconstruction the second time, or not the reconstruction, just the repair surgery on the UCL. So he's coming back from that, but that's obviously completely different. He did not have to get the full reconstruction of the Tommy John the second time. So I think it'll be interesting to see and follow Means. He obviously knows this recovery path well, having already gone through it once. So he knows what it takes to get back from it. But obviously it's going to be completely different having to do it a second time around, both physically and mentally.
Yeah, so if Guardians fans had a hope right now for Means to come back and sort of reach the pinnacle of what he was in his career, obviously, you know, fans can go and look at the numbers and see what he had done. But from someone who has watched the teams and experienced it, what kind of guy are you getting in that sense?
Well, you're getting a great clubhouse guy, first off. I mean, there might not be any player as nice as John Means in the big leagues. He's just a very nice, down-to-earth guy. Was great always around the clubhouse, even when he was on the injured list and when he would show up when he was on that recovery path. Loved being around his teammates, just a good guy to be around and talk baseball. And obviously, I mean, the ceiling was high when he was having success early in his career. He was an all-star in 2019, finished second in rookie of the year voting, threw a no-hitter in Seattle in 2021. So, I mean, he was able to have a lot of success. There's stuff there. His fastball's not overpowering, but he has a good changeup, has some other off-speed offerings that really made him a good pitcher. You know, will he ever get back to that point? I mean, that remains to be seen. But, you know, if he can, he's a good quality pitcher. He's a good guy to have around. He's experienced. He really fits well in pretty much any clubhouse, I would say, just because of the personality. And if he can get back to pitching anywhere close to the level he has earlier in his career, then he'd be a valuable addition to any pitching staff.
And John, I'm going to ask you, we're talking about John Means, a good back and forth there, but I'm going to ask you an answer to a question that I don't think any of us could have, but just to give your best shot at it, would you be willing to put a ceiling on him coming back from a second Tommy John, just from what we've seen with pitchers coming back from a first one? It seems like they've had an opportunity to get back to where they were, if not at times even to a better spot at this point. We've come a long way. With the second one in the question marks, are we willing to put a ceiling on it, or is it, again, just sort of a wait and see here?
Yeah, I think that's tough just because it is so rare to see guys have to go through this a second time. you know, we've seen him come back from it once and have a good amount of success. It would be impressive to me if he does come back from a second Tommy John and gets back to the form that he showed before and is able to be a starting pitcher and pit log innings and have just, you know, near no hit type stuff that he has before. It would be impressive to see. You know, I'm not going to say he's not going to do that because, you know, John Means is a very hard worker and, you know, he's just loves this game and loves the sport and wants to get back and wants to win so badly. So, you know, I'm not going to put it past him doing it. It would just be very impressive to me if he is able to do it. Just because it has been so rare and, you know, there's been a lot of stress on the elbow here these last few years.
And as you look at the contract and what they signed Means to for the Guardians, just your overall opinion, obviously with the timing, I think it was June or July last year that Means ended up tearing it the first time, for a second time, and now coming back, you'd think likely him coming back at some point this year, a bit of a stretch if he was able to, more a deal that's pushed towards 2026, but it feels like the Guardians want to get on it early, so they hand him $1 million this year with a club option that hands him about $6 million next year. A potential steal of a deal, or right where you would put that at?
Yeah, I think it's a fair price. I mean, it could be a steal depending on how, you know, he impacts their rotation next year. I mean, you could even look at it as they're paying him $7 million just for that 26 season just because you aren't sure what you're going to get from him this year. There's a chance maybe in September he comes back. But, you know, it obviously is a long recovery process. We don't know how it's going to react the second time. So, you know, I think they should just be happy if they're able to get him back for 26 and have him as a factor and, you know, kind of be in that starting rotation mix, because I don't think they can bank on getting anything out of him this year. And if somehow, you know, his recovery does go well and he's able to somehow make it back in September, then I think that's just an added bonus. And, you know, maybe they get an early look at him and, you know, see if he is a good fit for their long-term future, or not long-term future, but next season as well.
So the Guardians, in my eyes, I think maybe a little bit of happy feet here. Obviously, I have high hopes for John Means. I've watched his career. I liked what I've seen out of him. But in terms of the sort of recovery Tommy John type pitcher, they did something similar with Matthew Boyd, where they went out and made sure that they acquired him last year, knowing that the process was going to play out and they weren't going to have him right away and they were going to have to wait some months. It feels like now taking a longer stab. Do you get this similar feel from an outside view that the Guardians are I don't want to say stepping out of their shoes, but maybe taking a little bit of a risk here after getting a success of it the first time with Matthew Boyd?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a risk. I mean, there's a risk anytime it's a guy with Tommy John. It's just double that with a guy with two Tommy Johns. You know, like you said, maybe it could be a steal. Maybe he does come back and, you know, it looks like a bargain later on. Or maybe, you know, he doesn't ever pitch for them and, you know, it doesn't turn out well and they just kind of lost this money. But, you know, with John Means and, you know, just the character of the guy and the impact he's had in Baltimore and what he's done when he's been on the field for the Orioles, I think it's a risk worth taking just because he has had near no hit stuff quite a few times when he's pitched. Like I said, the arsenal's there. It's a good mix of pitches when he's healthy. So if they're able to get him anywhere close to that and able to get him healthy, I think it's a risk that could, you know, bring rewards later on.
Jake Grill with us from MLB.com. He covers the Orioles over there on the hotline. He's with us. The Orioles, I'm sure, once again, after last season, hoping to be competitive this year. What's sort of the feeling around Baltimore right now in the division that you're in? Obviously, having to go up against the Yankees, who won the AL last year. Boston has looked to be, at least attempting to be, more competitive in going for that division this year. What's the feeling around the Orioles right now in the city?
Yeah, I think the fans may have been a little bit disappointed that the team didn't go out and spend a little bit more money and bring in one of those marquee free agents or make a huge trade. Obviously, they lost Corbin Burns, who went to Arizona. They lost Anthony Santander, who went to Toronto. They had some guys who were good complementary pieces, guys like Tyler O'Neill, Charlie Morton, but definitely not guys like who were in those top couple tiers of free agents. So I think there's some cautious optimism around Baltimore. They know the pieces are there in the core. They know there's Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, guys like Jackson Holliday, Colton Cowser, young guys who should just continue to take steps forward. So the pieces are there for a good team, but I think the fans wanted to see them, you know, really go all in and get like some huge pieces to add to this team, guys who are at that level of a Burns or a Santander. But the Orioles are confident that, you know, some of these young guys, like I said, are going to take steps forward. Guys like Grayson Rodriguez could maybe develop into an ace. So they're really confident that the pieces they have in-house are going to take big enough steps forward that this team's going to be able to not only have success like they had the last 2 years, but make a deeper postseason run after they got bounced so quickly each of the last two seasons.
What's your feeling on the Red Sox right now, and the way they were? I mean, the way everything's going down there, like, it feels like they made a couple of good ads, but then you pay attention to their spring training, and you have Tristan Casas basically saying, third base is Rafi Devers, Rafi saying he's not going to move, and you also have a Gold Glover and Alex Bregman who they're trying to shove at second base. Is there a feeling that they're going to be good, or is that also sort of a cautious, we'll kind of just see how this thing pans out with them?
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of drama around the AL East this spring that the Orioles have not been part of. I think the Red Sox have the potential to be good. I mean, obviously you add somebody like the level of Alex Bregman. You add a guy like Garrett Crochet who could have such a bright future in this league as an ace. I think they took a couple big swings there that could really set them up for success. Obviously, they have to kind of get everything straightened out with who's playing where and kind of diffuse this whole thing that's been going on in recent weeks. But, you know, I think anytime you add a guy like an Alex Bregman, a guy who has the potential to be, you know, a top-tier star in this league, it's only going to make your team a lot better. So I think the Red Sox have the potential to set up well for success, but, you know, they kind of got to figure everything out, move past this, and get ready for the season, and we'll have to see how that unfolds once the season gets underway.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake, can you tell me what it's like to have a catcher that can hit the ball? I mean, I'm just saying, what is it like to be able to root for a team, cover a team with a catcher that can actually hit the ball? Because, you know, the Guardians think they might have one in Bo Naylor, but so far, just no cigar.
Yeah, you definitely, it's such a huge added bonus when you have a catcher who has the offensive potential of Adley Rutschman. They definitely saw that in 2023 when he was just so good. They saw that in the first half of 24, which is obviously why he was a second-time All-Star. And then Rutschman really kind of struggled in the second half last year for the first time in his career, had a prolonged slump for a few months. And unsurprisingly, the Orioles then went 500 in the second half and immediately bounced out of the playoffs and scored one run in that playoff series against Kansas City. So this Orioles offense really kind of Rutschman's just kind of the engine that kind of powers it. They kind of go as far as he goes. And obviously that's a good thing to have when he's so talented and has the potential to do what he did those first couple of years. And they kind of need to get him back to that early in 2025. But yeah, it's just obviously such a huge boost to have a guy at a position like catcher where you value a guy's defense there and try to get as much offense as you can. And when he happens to also be one of your best offensive players, that's just a huge, huge boost.
From an outside perspective, covering the Orioles and watching the playoffs go down last year in the MLB, what did you make of the Guardians' result last year, making it to an ALCS? Obviously, I mean, you get stomped out by the Yankees there, but more of a stroke of luck or a team that's actually building towards something?
I don't know, obviously, I'm watching from the outside. I'm watching on my TV like a lot of people, but yeah, I mean, I think the Guardians have a good team. A lot of the pieces there, I liked what I was seeing. Obviously the Yankees were just so tough. I saw the Yankees a lot last year, obviously being in the AL East. It's tough to beat a team that has Judge and Soto in the heart of the order. And obviously now that won't be an issue for opponents anymore, this season. But yeah, I think the Guardians have a lot of impressive pieces. I always enjoy watching Jose Ramirez. He's obviously such a talented player and, you know, it looks like a great player to build around. So I could see a path for the Guardians to continue to kind of have this success moving forward, and they look like a really impressive team from an outsider's perspective.
All right, Jake Rill over at MLB.com covering the Orioles. Jake, I'll get you out of here with this one. Bigger threat in the AL this year, the Guardians or the Orioles?
Well, I think they both have good teams. I think they're both playoff caliber teams. Maybe it's just because I see the Orioles every day and, you know, I know these guys. I'm going to say the Orioles just because I think this team, they won 101 games 2 years ago and then got swept in the playoffs. They battled through a lot of adversity last year while winning 91 games, getting back to the playoffs. I think this team's hungry. I think they have really bad taste left in their mouth from the last two postseasons. I think there are so many talented young players in this core that, you know, former top 100 prospects, former first-round draft picks, just these guys who, if they all take huge steps forward this year, now maybe that doesn't happen, maybe only a couple of them do, maybe they don't, and they end up not going as far as I think maybe they could. But if everything kind of clicks and all of these guys just start taking the next huge steps, I think this team could be really dangerous in October.
All right, Jake, I'll remember that. Don't forget, I'll remember. Now, I'm just getting really good stuff out of you, and I really do. I appreciate you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
And that was Jake Rill of MLB.com, beat reporter for the Orioles. Make sure you check out his work. Some really good stuff over there.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.